For that moment, that person forgets Allah Ta'ala. I remember when we were children, so our elders used to say, Allah Ta'ala ne bhulne baat nahi karwani. Don't say things forgetting Allah Ta'ala. It was His favor, it was His grace, it was His compassion. Otherwise, there's millions of people that are working even harder than you, but they don't enjoy the favors that you enjoy. So, when you enjoy the favors that you enjoy, it was just His grace. So now, this dua as though is a dua for the continuity of that grace. The business going well, and you want the business to continue and flourish, then recognize this favor, where is it coming from? The Muhajirin Sahaba Kiram had complained about the Ansari Sahaba Kiram. The nature of the complaint was, Ya Rasulullah, that this Ansari Sahaba Kiram, who's complaining, the Muhajirin, are complaining about the Ansar. The refugees are complaining about the Ansar, that is the residents of Medina Munawara, who had housed them, who had provided the residence to them. So the nature of the complaint was, Ya Rasulullah, these Ansars had opened out their homes to us. They had halved their businesses, their properties, all for us. Everything they had halved it. Literally they had halved it, gave it half to us, half they retained. Then, over and above this, they are striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala, they are participating in jihad. Any dini work comes before them, they are participating, they are contributing. They are also performing namaz, they also are paban on the tahajjud, etc. So we fear now that they have taken all the rewards. Because they have housed us, and they are striving, and they are working like we are working. So they have got an additional advantage of us. We have lost out. So Rasulullah showed them, no. As long as you do these two things. One is, you recognize their favor by showing thanks to them in their presence, in their absence, but you appreciate them. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. One person was belittling some Sahaba Ikram in the presence of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Well, Hussein radiallahu anhu asked him, do you belong to the Muhajirin? He says, no. Do you belong to the Ansar? No, I don't belong to the Ansar. He says that just there are three groups. One is the Muhajir, the second is the Ansar, and the third, Ja'u min ba'din, that came after. So those that came after, then what makes them join up and link up with the first two groups? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So, they are recognizing those people that came before them in faith. سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. They have come into faith before us. So they recognize them. So the one that has been gracious towards you, you recognize the goodness, the kindness. You don't forget it. Don't take that enjoyment. And just concede it. Don't mention it to people. Talk about it. Alhamdulillah, this person has been kind towards me. He's been gracious towards me. He's been considerate towards me, so talk about it. It means you are recognizing that person's grace, you are understanding and you are recognizing the good that he has done. Number two, you are making dua for him. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. So you are recognizing their position. Number two, you are making dua for them as well. So these are the two things that the Muazzin was told, that you recognize their good, their kindness, their generosity. Praise them, be it in their presence or in their absence. Number two, make dua for them. Obviously, you can't reach up to their level. When you can't reach up to the level, it mustn't mean that when you can't reach up to the level, you do nothing. So at least you have praised them and you've spoken good about them and you made dua for them. Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullah Ali, his contemporary was Yahya Barmaki. Yahya Barmaki was one of the officials, government official, very senior ranking government official. His name was Yahya Barmaki. So Yahya Barmaki used to look at all the needs and the requirements of Sufyan Sauri. All, whatever his needs are, his yearly needs, would see it complete. From A to Z, every need of it, he would see it complete. Anyway, so Yahya bin Makki passed away. When he passed away, someone saw him in the dream and they asked, how did it fare for you? He says, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me. He said, how did Allah Ta'ala forgive you? He says, you know, I used to take care of Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi, the leading alim of the time, leading muhaddith of the time. And Sufyan Thawri used to make dua for me. In sajda, he used to cry for me. And he used to say to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, that Yahya bin Makki has taken care of my dunya, you take care of his akhirat. He's taken care of my dunya, all my dunya needs. I don't have to scratch around, I don't have to worry, I got no pressure, no tension. So he's taken care of all my dunya needs. So Allah Ta'ala, you take care of his akhirat needs. See? Big people, they think big. Big people, people with big minds, they think big. And people with peanuts, peanut mind, they think like peanuts. I'll give him what's going to happen, 2 rand, 1 rand, 5 rand, what's going to happen. So the ones that have got a peanut brain, they think like that. And the ones that think that have got broad brains, their minds transcend into the hereafter, they think like, no, I have to secure my akhirat. My hereafter, I have to preserve it. I have to do something for myself. I'll be dead and gone. And there won't be anybody thinking of me after that. I'll be in that isolation. I'll be left alone. They'll remember me for a few days and I'll be forgotten, oblivion now. Forgotten. So when I'm nasyam mansiya, bhuli basri cheez ho jayegi, I'll be forgotten, then I need something for me to be rolling. Something must roll onto me. What have I got? So this first level we are talking about is the level of da'wat. So da'wat in the initial stages, small infantry, child is growing up. Mawla Alimiya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So he writes about the style of the house. He's a great writer of the day. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. He passed away on a Friday. He had made ghusl, put on new clothes, applied the ether, and he was reciting Surah Kaf or Surah Yasin. And whilst reciting, he passed on. So, as though he had an agreement with Malakul Maut, this time I want to go. Jummah, just waiting for the Jummah namaz, right? Made the ghusl, performed all what I need to perform. And at that time, Malakul Maut had taken me. So as though he had made an arrangement with him. He was amongst the few ulama of India whose janazah namaz was recited in both the harams, Makkah and Medina. So he was recognized both by the ulama and people in India as well as in Arabia. Both haramain, both had made dua for him. So, for the man to reach up to that level of respect, there must have been a lot of hard work put into him. It's the hard work, obviously, of the mother. She puts the effort, and then everybody praises the child, and normally the praises go to the father. Mother is forgotten. So, there's no doubt about the sincerity of the mother. When I look at a woman's life, there's no doubt. She's done everything, but nobody will say that this woman here, this was the woman that worked hard behind this man here. In bringing about the prosperity, it was her work. So nobody talks about it. Hey, taro poiro ketla usyar shi. Your son is so usyar, so clever, so intelligent. So all the respect is attributed to the father. But if you look at the hard work, the real work was done by the mother. So he talks about his very early years of his life. He says, my mother was very, very particular about two things. In two things, in everything else she would compromise, spoil me and do everything else, because my father died whilst I was an infant. So my mother used to spoil us, but in two matters she was very particular, very hard, no compromise in the two. Says, number one is this, that in ensuring that I perform my namaz from the age of 7, not a single namaz that I miss out. No matter how deep sleep I was in, you know, that child when he sleeps deep, he's like a log, you can move him from one end to the other end, pour water over, he won't get up. He sleeps so deep. But she would make sure that from the age of 7, no compromise. Everything else I'll make maaf, forgive and all that. I'll spoil you with wealth and all that. But in this regard, in your namaz, no, I can't compromise. I must get you up. Whatever the age, whatever the time, whatever the namaz be it fajr, be it isha, be it winter, be it summer, whatever the time of the year, however, whatever state you are in. But namaz is absolutely no compromise. So this was the first khubi that she had indoctrinated us with. This was the first thing, namaz. So when we were so entrenched into namaz, was it ever possible for us to ever leave out and forego one namaz? The second thing he says, my mother was very, very particular about, Hazrat Maulana Mir Sahib passed away around, just now, 2017, 18 years old, passed away from the Jummah. Not someone now, we're talking of olden days, not just now. Second thing that she was very particular about, that you must not tramp the feet of anybody. Don't hurt anybody physically, verbally, emotionally. And dare we hurt anybody, even, he says, even if it was just the maid or the worker in the house, if we had hurt him, spoken a little bit aggressively with him, spoken out of turn with anybody, or hurt anybody, or caused any discomfort, my mother said, no, I will not talk unto you, I will not talk with you, until you plead with him for forgiveness. Hold his feet, beg him for his forgiveness. Until that, I won't talk to you. But you must make sure that you will ask him for forgiveness. So I thought to myself, what a great learned person his mother must have been. You know, we talk of alimas, but what a great alima this must have been. Because she built this child here with hukukullah and hukukul ibad. What are the rights of people and what are the rights of Allah Ta'ala? So I ask you, will this child have any problems afterwards? When he learned to be so humble, he learned to be very cautious, not to hurt anybody, not even physically, not emotionally, he learned not to hurt that person. Will he get into any problem? In his marriage, will he have any problems? If he's socializing with people, will he have any problems, right? With his in-laws, will he have any problems? With his parents, will he have any problems? With his friends, will he have any problems? No, he won't have any problems. He'll be very cautious. He's been trained up like this. What has been put into the child, he will behave in that manner. Now you just want the child to come up when he's of that age, when the habits are hard into him, they entrench into him. It's an effort. Not that it's impossible, but it is an effort after that. Now in the formative years, you put these type of values into the child, now it becomes like a second nature. I can't be inconsiderate. I can't be ignoring people's rights. Whatever it is, if I'm owing him 5 rand, I need to see that before the due date I was paying. So he's so considerate. So I ask you, if the child is this, will he have any problems in his wealth, in his person, in his behavior, in his mannerisms, in his socializing? Anyway, will he have any problems? With Allah Ta'ala, will he have any problems? He's covered himself by Allah Ta'ala. He's covered himself with people. Generally, this is what happens to us, that when we want to become a little pious, you hear, especially made so much of zikr, so much of Quran Sharif. We're very good. But then, what about people's rights? Are we cautious about people's rights? How we talk to them, how we behave? Are we cautious about that? The type of places we visit, the type of places we go to. Yesterday I was in the office, so one person tells me that so-and-so, acquaintance, I just know him, I don't know him very well, I must have met him about 20 years ago. So he sends salams, he conveyed salams, and number two, he conveyed a message, compliments for the season. So I said, you know what a dangerous statement you are making, you're complimenting me for the season here. Yeah? You are a Muslim, call yourself a Muslim, but you know what you are doing. The season now is to do with Christianity. Whether it's called Christmas, whether it's called New Year, it has nothing to do with us. It's an alien thing. When it's an alien thing, you are trying to be courteous. And how are you trying to be courteous? By using the words that go around. Because we are living in a minority, the word that goes around is the season, right? Season. So you became overwhelmed with the season. When you became overwhelmed with the season, now you extended a greeting to me, thinking that you are doing something good. But you know what problem you're putting yourself into? Do you understand what you're doing? You need to be keeping yourself poles apart. I could have just kept quiet, but told him anything. But if on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala were to ask me, that you knew this was wrong, and you knew that person, and then why didn't you correct him? Why didn't you give the dawah to him? Then won't I be answerable for that? I need to explain to him that this is not right. But he doesn't understand because of his ignorance. Though in the worldly respect, he's a doctor, very qualified and educated person. But in deen, he's ignorant. So when he's ignorant in deen, he needs to be educated. It doesn't mean that he's a doctor in the worldly sense of the word, therefore he's absolved with any type of instruction. He must be corrected. He is giving you medical assistance. You need to provide to him dini assistance. Otherwise, if he holds on to your collar, tell Allah Ta'ala that I did this wrong. This man knew about it, but he never correct me. Then will I have any answer in the presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So these two things his mother explained. This was such entrenched so well. Wherever I went after, well, I used to be called after big conferences, Rabita, and the government level, sometimes Dubai, here, there. But Alhamdulillah, says he was respected, he was received with so much of respect. But he attributes this all to the nurturing and the upbringing of his mother. So what an important role the mother plays in the life of the child. Right? And I say this mother is doing it with all sincerity. Nobody praises that mother that this is the child that you brought up. Nobody. She's left behind the scenes, literally and metaphorically. She's left behind this parda. Nobody knows about it. But you see, this dawat starts off from the very beginning. How do you conduct yourself? How do you speak to people? How do you respond? In every situation, the child is corrected. All right, you do this here. Don't do it like this. And you tell him the reason. And you don't be afraid. Just now, if I'm going to correct him, then he will correct me. So now don't have the fear in your heart. You correct him, although you are guilty of the wrong. A father, you see a father, sometimes he's smoking. But he warns his child, you dare touch that thing and see what happens to you. You don't hear that father warns the child. He is guilty of it, but he warns his child, you don't get guilty, you don't get involved in it. The father may not be reciting the Quran Sharif with tajweed, but he says, you go to Mawlana Magda and become hafiz, and you see to it that you recite with tajweed. But the father, he will struggle to recite one page, two pages. He'll have a lot of difficulty reciting, but he will make sure that the child learns. He doesn't want the child to get left out. So you see what an important position the father has. You know, how he should use that, exploit it, and exploit it correctly. Small things. These are the type of things that you will do. There should be a good level of transparency between the child and the parents. Right? Whatever happens in school, then must be reported. One person, I explained this to him, you know, there must be some transparency, in fact complete transparency, between you and your child until he's married. He didn't understand, no, you just do it. So anyway, the child came and reported after the school came home. He says, Ma, you know, now the child is about 13, 14, coming off, understanding his adolescence. So he comes and he says to his mother, Ma, you know, so-and-so girl, yeah, she went for a holiday to India, you know. So the child is reporting in all innocence to the mother. But obviously the mother, a parent, is old, aged, she's got experience. She sees the child, you know what, whatever it is, but you don't become informal and casual with that girl. Because the mother made out that there are 30 children in the class, why did he have to give a report about this girl in particular? The mother made it out that there were 30 children, right? And they were giving the reports, all the experience of the school, already, whatever. But why did he have to touch on this girl? That means, dil mein koi baat thi. The mother picked it up and the mother corrected it. So you see, what an important strategic position the mother has, the father has, in the life of the child. And she must correct, he must correct. They mustn't feel embarrassed. Now the child will feel bad at that moment, but you have corrected him. Now he knows, now this is my line, I can't cross the line. Yes, there was a thief in my heart, and I didn't know that there was a thief in my heart. My mother brought it to my attention, now I realize it's wrong. But had the mother kept quiet for that moment, it would have been like an American case. One person in those days when they used to execute, you know. So the person is about to be executed. So he's given his last wish. What do you want? So I want to talk to my mother. So when his mother is sitting next to him, he says to his mother, just pull out your tongue, just loll out your tongue. So the mother, in all innocence, now I won't see my child again, he wants to perhaps kiss my tongue or whatever. So she lolled out the tongue. He bit her tongue right from the root. So, wow. Yaknashuvat doshuvat. There's one problem, there's a double problem, compounded problem. What happened? So, the child says, no, all this guilt I attributed to my mother. When I was a child, at 4 years of age, I ran to the neighbor's yard. I saw an egg. I brought it to my mother. And with so much of love, she prepared that thing and fed me.
So that stayed in my heart, that this is all right, stealing, robbing, cheating, all that, that's all right, it's not a problem. So I became more and more brazen, more and more daring, from one thing to the other, and the third thing. And then this eventually led me to this murder that I committed. But where it started off from? It started from this point. Had my mother only corrected me at that point, then I would have known that this is wrong, this is right. But then, that consciousness of wrong had been deleted from my mind at that age. I became more and more brazen, more and more brave in wrong. And this is a result of my mother's nurturing. So the strategic point, the strategic position that the parents have in the child's upbringing, he knows what is wrong, what is haram, what is right, what is not right. That discreet, that thief that is in the heart, mother picks it up. Hadith Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala fills his grave with Noor. He says, when I came of age around 1920, and they were talking about marriage, 18, 19, then parents will talk about my marriage, and I was receiving proposals. So proposal can be in both ways, sometimes from the boy's side, sometimes from the girl's side. Person is very pious, then you will have the proposals coming from the girl's side. So my father, Mawlana Yahya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, explained to me that these are the proposals that are coming for you. Are you interested or not? So this woman, yeah, they, whatever it is, but you must accept it. You know, they are head over heels over you. And he is with so much of wealth, only one daughter. He's aging already. He's just got one daughter. Just accept it and everything will be yours. Parents are aging. And they got wealth of Africa. Literally, they got so much of wealth, right? Only one daughter they've got. Just take this. Puri dunya tumhare kadmo ko chumegi. Whole world will kiss your feet. So, as a Shaykh, I declined the offer. Father asked him why. He says, where must I go and keep attending to a queen now? What you want now? What must I do for you? You know, because now she's a queen of the house, then I have to treat her as a queen. So I can't be going behind her and treating her like a queen all the time. So the father corrected. See this father's tarbiyat, correction. So the father said, you see, when I was your age, I also received proposals. And I also received proposals from women that were very rich, very wealthy, extremely wealthy. Like the level of wealth that this woman has got, same level of wealth, and I received the proposals. And when the proposals did come, I turned them down. And the reason that I had given at that time was, see, ab to chatai ke upar baithne ka mauka milta hai. Phir jab isse se shaadi ho jayegi, to chatai ke upar baithne ka mauka kahan milega? Now, that I've married, if I'm married to that type of a queen, you know, if I married, if, you know, now I'm sitting on a straw mat. Simple straw mat, a house, simple, you know, mud walls, and simple straw mat I'm sitting upon. But if I'm going to get married to a queen, then I have to sit on a Persian rug, that type of wealth I have to sit, you know. I won't have that ability, I won't have that occasion to be humble, to be modest, to be thinking nothing of myself. I'll be living in riches, I'll be proud, I'll become arrogant. So, he's asking his son, Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi, compare my answer to your answer. You know, your answer was, hey, we're going to run behind this queen and attend to her. And mine was that, you know, I'm sitting on a straw mat, and where will I have the opportunity of sitting in the more on that straw mat again? So can you compare your answer against my answer? Where is their humility and where is their pride? Now, the father, the parent's duty is to correct. Even if the child has come up of age, but you see what he's talking about, be transparent. Understand what he's talking about. Now we say, no, let him have his freedom. Right? Let him have his freedom. And when there's a smash up then, through the WhatsApp, through any other appliance, and he's got involved into a problem, and then you will definitely want to come onto the side of your child. Whether the child is right or wrong, but it's my child, I need to defend him. That's the attitude that 99% of parents have. 1% will look for the truth. But 99%, no, it's my child, I need to stand for him. Come what may. So, you don't want the child to get involved into problems, then correct him, guide him, discipline him, show him that this is how you live. So for that, there must be total transparency. So one level, as I explained, one is called da'wat,
And so much of da'wat can be done within the framework of the house. People that you have got a lot of influence over, those that are working for you, you can talk to them. A little bit of effort, changing things around, you can teach them namaz, you can encourage them, and they will listen to you, you can engage them in ta'lim. Are we only interested on the wealth? Or are we only interested in that? Don't we see the hand that is giving? We don't see the hand that is giving. So what is our reaction? Our reaction is, no, the money will just flow. Money is just flow. But who's the hand? Whose hand is flowing the money? It's his hand that's allowing the money to flow. So he's forgotten. Now we know namaz is enough. But that's not the way. Namaz, a little bit of dini instruction, ta'lim in the shop. It doesn't mean it's a shop environment. We can't have ta'lim. If there are women that are working, are they clad, are they clothed correctly? Are they working correctly? If there is a lot of interaction, men and women, then are we bringing some structures into the business? So we've forgotten Allah Ta'ala. We are just worried about the gift. Is it right, I ask you? You give all your wealth to your child, and he's soaking and drowning in your wealth, but he forgets you. Kis kaam ka bachcha hai? He's taken all the enjoyment, but he's forgotten the giver, he's forgotten the father, he's totally forgotten him, deleted him. I ask you, kis kaam ka bachcha hai? Is that child of any use? So, to conscientize the child, the easy way is to have ta'lim. Even if it's 15 minutes or 10 minutes, but some ta'lim, they are doing the namaz, men, women, etc. And we have got that parda consciousness, how they are talking, what is going on in the business. Or in office place, or in the workplace, how are we conducting ourselves? Do we have the consciousness that it is Allah Ta'ala that is giving? He is giving, he can take away also straight away. About 2 days ago, one person came to the madrasa, engineer, top engineer. So he's telling me that he saw Yunus Sahab Rahmatullah in the dream. Now he's crying away, and he's worried about the plight of women. How they're dressing, how they're carrying on. How are they conducting themselves? And this is his worry. Imagine the man is in Jannatul Mala, in the grave, but his concern is about the ummah. Can you imagine now what feelings he's got, what attachment he's got? And then if we show total disregard for that person, aren't we unfortunate? He's sleeping there, but his fikr is about us. Okay, what are the women doing? We're showing scant regard, no regard about this thing. So one aspect is about da'wat, the first level, da'wat, right? The second thing that the Quran Sharif and the Hadith talks about is du'a. So one is da'wat, the second is du'a, right? Du'a, we all understand what is du'a. And the essence of du'a is, Allah Ta'ala wants to see a level of desperation in that individual. Whatever you're going to get, whatever is decreed, you will get. You won't get a cent more or a cent less. That's going to come to you, right? Whether you ask for it or you don't ask for it, what is decreed will happen, right? But with the du'a, you are showing desperation. So the du'as that are recited on the different occasions, you are reciting those du'as. In this day and time, then these two du'as, one I explained to you just now, you know, after eating and wearing clothes and the du'a, right? Two du'as that can be recited in this day. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء والأدواء. Allah Ta'ala, I ask you refuge, protection against منكرات الأخلاق, bad manners, bad ways, bad character. Man can be so good, but he shows bad character, nobody likes him. He seems to be good in his eyes, in his sight, but in the sight of people, he is despised. Nobody respects him, nobody likes him. They keep a distance from him. Why? He doesn't have manners, he doesn't have ways, he doesn't have a good behavior. So, munkarat al-akhlaq, bad manners, bad ways. And bad manners means, not just amongst people, not just for the sake of people, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you're showing good manners. It mustn't be that on the face you show a good face, but behind him you're swearing. No, that's not bad, not good manners. So, evil manners, ways, behavior, character, akhlaq wal-amal, bad works, activities, all type of wrong activities, wrong type of actions, wrong type of behavior, right? Number two. A'mal, akhlaq wal amal, wal ahwa. The third is temptation. You know, things that will tempt you today like never tempted you before. Just at a press of a button, what haram you can get yourself involved in. Just at a press of a button. Before, to get to the haram was an effort. You needed that wealth, and you needed something to get into the haram, right? But now, just with the press of a button, in any haram, the haram of your choice, and you, at any age, and you can't become embarrassed, nobody can see, nobody knows about it. But so easily the haram is available. So easily. So, isn't it a difficult time? And isn't this dua of Nabi Sallam a miracle? But Nabi Sallam's dua is so pertinent for this day. Like it was workable then, but it's so pertinent this day. Munkarat al-akhlaq wal-amal wal-ahwa wal-adwa. And illnesses, the type of sicknesses that we are nowadays, like we never had before. You know, doctors also can't make out, they can't find out what is the problem. They got him at the hospital, they put him into so many checks, but they can't just find. And they say, you know, this, we can only treat the symptoms, because sugar, we can only treat the symptoms, we can't treat the root. Don't you hear about the stories? We hear this all the time. So Nabi Sallam's dua is so perfect. Munkaratil akhlaq wal amal wal ahwa wal adwa. That's one dua. And the other dua comes in Bukhari Sharif, comes in Abu Dawud Sharif. Someone's eyes just opens up at night, right? Eyes opened up. One is, the better thing is to get up for tahajjud, right? Now, lazy people like us, we can't get up. We don't have that himmah, the drive. So the hadith says, then recite the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku, lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Then read the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. And then you say, Rabbi fili, or make any other dua. If you recite this fourth kalima first, then the third kalima, and then you make dua, then ustujiba lahu, your duas will get answered. Can you say that you don't have any needs? You have needs for yourself, for your children, for your dependents, for your qabr, all type of needs you've got. But if you don't have that himmat to get up, then at least this much, you recite that fourth kalima, then recite the third kalima, and then make dua. You can go see our seat again. But if you get up for tahajjud thereafter, then the namaz of yours also will be accepted. So what a beautiful dua. This three duas I've showed you now, right? Inni a'udhu bika min munkarati al-akhlaq, wal-a'mal, wal-ahwa, wal-adwa. And then this fourth kalima, and third kalima, right? And the other dua, what I showed you? First dua. After eating. Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlim minni wala quwwa. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِي وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. All your dua, all your gunas will get forgiven. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. تُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.